Amen. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, ladies, for singing, and all our men on the instruments, musicians. We are so blessed at Liberty. God has been good to us, and we rejoice. Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you today, and it is so good to be here. We were beginning to wonder if we were ever going to make it back, but we're here, and we're thankful for all the Lord has done. I want to thank each of you. We've had so many text messages and phone calls and things like that. We could never thank each of you personally, but we want to do that right now collectively. Just say thank you for all that you have done through prayers and through the food you've brought, the text messages you sent, all of that stuff. We appreciate that. Most of all, appreciate your prayers that has brought us back here today. So we still do. We have a lot of sickness within our church family. We need to be praying for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that normally sit around us. There is a lot of sickness going around. COVID's making its rounds. And so we want to pray for one another. And again, I'm just going to remind you here, don't be surprised if there's a time period where we don't maybe cancel services on campus for about 2 weeks. To let it take its course and so forth. So we're just ever prayerful about that every day. But there'd be announcements about that coming out. But right now, today, we're here, and we're here to worship, and we're here to rejoice in Him. So you pray for us. We'll get through this service this morning. A little short of breath, but we know the Lord's got it all in His hands. I want to do something this morning. I want to go back and visit a passage of Scripture. We preached on most of the passage, and we didn't really focus on the verse that's on our heart today. But if you will take your Bibles and stand, or your cell phone, whatever it is you're looking at your copy of God's Word on, turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And while you're turning there, I was reminded of a lady who sat down beside an atheist on an airplane, and she got her Bible out and was reading her Bible. And the atheist looked over at her and said, you don't believe all that junk you're reading in that Bible, do you? And she said, yes, sir, I believe everything that's in it. And he said, well, what about that story of a man who was swallowed by a whale? How is that possible? How did he survive those 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of that whale? And she thought a minute and she said, well, I really don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. And the atheist said, well, what if he's not in heaven? And she said, well, then you'll have to ask him. Exodus 15. We're looking down at verse number 26. We have Exodus 15, verse 26. We preached during some of our outdoor services through these chapters of Exodus. And they were a help to us. And we preached about these bitter waters of Marah. But specifically today, I want us to look at Exodus 15, 26. There's a truth here that if you don't already know this truth, you need to mark it down, highlight it in your Bible. You need to put it on your refrigerator. Let it be a verse you remember, because you're going to need it as you journey through life. But Exodus 15, verse 26, the Bible says this, and said, this is the Lord speaking, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and to keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am, you can underline that, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. So think about that for a few minutes this morning as you're seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of his word. We want to look at what the Bible says here. Now, I want you to understand something very important today. I want you to understand that when the Lord says, I am, and he makes a statement after that, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. When the Lord makes that statement and he says, I am, and he follows it with something else, he is revealing who he is and who his character is, and he's revealing what he does. And so when the Lord says, I am the God who heals you, then what he is saying is, this is who I am, In essence, this is who I am as a person. This is what I do. Now, let me explain something to you. If you believe that He is a God who forgives, then you have to believe, as much as He is a God who is a God who forgives, then He is also a God who heals. And we know that He came to seek and save those that are lost. We know He is a God who forgives, because each of us have been recipients of God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. Where would we be this morning if God did not forgive us of all of our sins? There would none of us be here today, because there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none perfect, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But because He is a God who forgives, we are here today living in His grace and walking in His mercy because of that attribute or that aspect of God's nature, that He is a God who forgives. I remember meeting with a man one time, and we met in the church, met up on the front pew, and sat down and talked, and he said, I've got to tell you my story. And he said, it's bad. And he said, I've messed up. And he said, there's no recovery. He said, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against my family. I've sinned against my friends. And he said, there is no hope and no forgiveness for me. And I sat there and I listened, and I already knew based upon those statements that I had a good word from heaven for him. And so he shared his heart, and he was not only delighted but relieved to find out that God could forgive somebody like him. And I based that on the authority of God's word, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus came to seek and save the lost and to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness if we confess our sins to Him. So He is a God who forgives. And some of you, when the praise band stands and sings, or the choir, when the choir stands, and when a preacher preaches, you ought to rejoice in your heart that God has forgiven you and cleansed you of all of your unrighteousness, because you're here today. You live, breathe, and exist because of the mercies and the graces of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so He is a God who forgives, but as much as He is a God who forgives, He's a God who heals. Now, I want you to understand something. That Bible, that word in the Bible, heal, as we read it in that verse, it means to completely restore, to completely make whole, to thoroughly bind up and bring health to an individual. And so when we're thinking of a God who heals, we're thinking of a God who heals, and He heals the right way at the right time, and He does it completely and thoroughly. It's just like when God saves a man. When God saves a man and He reaches down and lifts him up out of the muck and the mire of life and of sin and of this world, God saves that man and He does it right. And so it is when God heals. Now, certainly, the psalmist, or the Moses, as he's writing in Exodus, and we see this verse communicating to us what the Lord has spoken unto him. Certainly, we're talking about physical disease, absolutely. And this is what the Lord has shared here in this verse with His people. He wants them to know, look, all of the diseases and the plagues that you saw come upon Egypt and the Egyptians, I want you to know that if they come upon you, I am the God who heals. I am able to heal you thoroughly and completely and wholly. My grandmother was in her 80s when she got diagnosed with colon cancer. They did surgery, very delicate surgery at that age. She was a strong lady in her 80s. But they did colon cancer, or they did surgery for the colon cancer. She recovered from that, healed from that. God healed her. Several years later, she was then diagnosed with lung cancer. Her colon cancer had metastasized, and it showed up in her lungs, and they went in and took out, I think, over a third of one of her lungs there, her in her 80s. And God healed her of that and brought her through. And when she died, it wasn't cancer that killed her, but God had healed her of all of that. I saw my mom diagnosed with kidney cancer, and we walked with her through all of that. She went and had surgery down at Emory in Atlanta, and how that God healed her from that, and years of doctor's visits and checkups and follow-ups but how that finally the doctor said, you don't have to come back anymore because you've been healed. Now don't tell me we don't serve a God who heals. I believe we do today, and He heals of these physical diseases. And as sure as God heals of physical diseases, then we've got to look in the Word of God and see what other ways that God heals. I want to tell you one of the ways of the Bible, when we see this word heal, when we see it used. It's only used in just a couple of settings in God's Word. But one of the ways that we see it used is when the Lord is referring to those that are brokenhearted. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord, that is what He came for. In fact, Jesus said that. Jesus said, this is why I come, so that I may bind up. And that's that word heal. So that I may bind up those that are brokenhearted. Now listen to me. I don't know anybody in this church who's escaped life without being brokenhearted at some place and sometime in their life. I don't know how old you are, but you don't have to live to any age at all before you realize that life doesn't always turn out the way we want it to turn out. Things don't always live out as a dream in our lives. We don't always wake up to miracles every day. We don't always wake up to sunshine and mountaintops, but if you've lived any length of time at all, then you know, and some of you have walked through some of the most difficult days that a man or a woman could ever walk through. And I don't know when it was. It may have been at home when you was a child, and it may have been mom and daddy or mom or dad that broke your heart. Maybe it was a failed marriage. Maybe it was a failed relationship, and you were wounded deeply, and you were bruised deeply. And you know, the people who wound us the most, the people who leave us the most brokenhearted are often the ones who are supposed to love us the most and are supposed to be the closest to us and care for us the most. And oftentimes life is not like that. Maybe it's been a circumstance. Maybe it's been a phone call that changed your life forever. I was speaking to somebody the other day about someone whose life recently has forever been changed. And I just wondered how that they would ever make it through life. But listen to me, the Lord says, I am a God who heals. I can take your brokenheartedness and I can bind it up and I can make it whole and I can restore you thoroughly in every way. But you know what the problem is? Is we will be easier to believe that God heals of physical infirmities than we will to believe that God heals of brokenheartedness in our life. And so sometimes we'll just take those brokenhearted, the seasons of our life that broke our hearts, and we just tuck them in the back of our mind, and we just live with them, and we just learn to function with them, and we just accept it, and we just move on. And often what we don't realize is this, is those times in our life that have left us so brokenhearted that it affects us and who we are. And we may not think so. But if we really got down and we look back on those occasions that broke our hearts and left us hurting, if we look back on those times, we'll see that they affect our actions. They affect how we respond to people. They affect how we think. They affect our attitudes so many times. And some of that brokenheartedness may be only a month ago or 6 months ago, but some of it may be 15 years ago or even 20 years ago. I remember a preacher friend of mine preached on forgiveness one day, and he knew of a certain situation that had been in the family of one of his church members. And as he preached that message on forgiveness, one of those family members met him on the steps out front of the church, leaving church that day, and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know that it was a good message, but what's been done to me, I want you to understand, not only will I never forget, but I'll never forgive. I'll never forgive." And it had happened years and years and years prior, some decades prior to this individual. And inside of them, they had this brokenheartedness, and they didn't understand or didn't believe that according to God's Word, we have a God who heals, and He heals thoroughly, and He heals completely. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're here and somewhere along life's way life left you brokenhearted, I want you to understand and I want you to know that if you will bring those years of brokenness before the Lord, He is able and He is willing to heal you thoroughly and completely and to make you whole. Let me tell you something. Our God's not a God of band-aids and patched up jobs. But our God's a God, when He heals, you won't need a band-aid and you won't need to be patched up and you won't need to be wrapped up, because when He heals you, He heals just as He forgives, wholly and completely, and He does it perfectly. A God who heals. I still declare that I believe church would be so much different as we gather to worship if we would come in here and we would be willing to let God deal, as I've preached many services here just recently, if we let God deal with the issues of our hearts and the issues of our lives. The days and times past when we've been brokenhearted, and instead of coming in here and just acting like we have it all together and we play this game of charades, then we look like this pretty little church member who's got it all together. If we would let God go back in our yesterdays and in the history of our life and in the history of our heart, and let the God who heals begin to heal us of all of life's brokenheartedness. And He'll do just that. But not only does it refer to being physically sick when we see that word heal, and it refers to being brokenhearted, but it also refers to being bruised. He says that specifically. He said, for those that have been bruised, those that have been wounded in life, not just brokenhearted, but those that have been beat down and beat around and mistreated. And I do know, and it's one of the things that I'm anxious for heaven about, is that in this world there is so much injustice. Why does it seem like some of the best people get treated the worst? Why does it seem like some of the best people that I know go through some of the hardest times? Why does it seem like people who deserve only the best and only blessing, why does it seem like they endure affliction and troubles and heartaches? And I look at the wicked as the psalmist David did. I look at those who are wicked and not even trying to live for the Lord, and it seems like they have blessing and prosperity on their left and on their right. And I know one day God's going to settle all that. But until He does, listen, if that's you and you've been beat around by life, or you've been knocked around by the devil and in the warfare, and you've been mistreated, you've been lied to, you've been lied about, whatever the case may be, you need to know that we have got a God who heals. He's able to heal you. I want you to understand that there is nothing. There is no infirmity. There is no heartache. There is no bruise that you have in your life that Jesus is not the answer for. He is the answer for all of our ailments. And that was the question the prophet wrote about. He said, is there not a balm in Gilead? He was making the point that there is healing to be found in the Lord. And we walk around looking for a doctor and looking for a doctor and trying to find relief and alleviation of the things that cause us suffering. And the prophet writes, but there's a balm. There's healing in Gilead, he says. In other words, there's healing found in the Lord. Any question of life you have or any heartache you have, the answer is found in Jesus. It always is. When I go to the doctor, listen, I want to go to the doctor and I want a doctor to tell me what's wrong with me. And I understand the way medicine works and sickness works. It's not always possible, but when you go, that's not what you want to hear. I mean, you want to hear, okay, this is what's wrong and this is how we're going to fix it. But when a doctor scratches their head and they try to figure some things out and they don't know what the answer is and they don't know what to say, that's always troubled me. And friends, listen, I want you to understand and I want you to know that King Jesus, He heals. And He knows your very heartache. He knows, listen, the same God who created you and knows every hair on your head and has them numbered. He knows every mark on your body and on your skin. He knows every breath you take. That same God, He knows you inside and out. And He's able to bring healing to you and heal you wholly and completely. Well, listen, I want to say this. And our Lord, He is also, in this context of healing, there is this spiritual healing that the Bible speaks of. Girls, you can go ahead and come. A spiritual healing. And as we look around at churches in our nation, We look at homes, families, and so forth. When we look at our nation, you got to understand the same God who promised the Israelites, the children of Israel here in Exodus 15, that, look, I'm the Lord who heals. The same God that promised them that, he's promised us. He can bring healing to our churches, our homes, and our nation. And I want to remind you of something. Our God's not in heaven being bullied by circumstances of this world. He's not in heaven being surprised by the outcome of an election or the outcome of some political event in America. It's not surprised. It's not caught him off guard. He's not been pushed around to where the will of people or the will of Satan has overimposed upon him and he has to humbly submit to the times or to whatever is happening. No, the Bible says that our God, that he allows kings to be set up to accomplish his purpose and his will. So I want you to know that God's still very much on his throne this morning. But I want you to know what he knows too is this, is that when he looks at America and he looks at the church of America, he knows that there needs to be healing take place within the church of America. Because we're not a revival church anymore. Many believers today are simply just going through the motions. How many of you, I wonder, have just went through the motions today and made your way to the house of the Lord? But I want to tell you this. Somebody called me the other day and they acted as if America had died and that it was all over with. I get it. But I want you to know this. The church has always thrived in revival when the church has been persecuted and pushed and backed in a corner. It's never during the times of blessing has the church experienced revival. I like those times of blessing. But the hearts of God's people have always been stirred, and it seems only stirred when great times of trouble have come upon them and great times of persecution, when they've been pushed and when they've been prodded. It's been then whenever the church of Jesus Christ really seeks the Lord with all of their heart. And she pours her complaints out to the Lord, and the Lord begins to visit his people in a great, great way. And you have to agree with me today, the one thing we need as a church, as liberty, as a people of God, is we need Jesus to pass by in a fresh way. We need God to do a new work. We need God to do a fresh work in your heart. When's the last time, by the way, let me ask you, when's the last time your heart's ever been touched by the Lord? When's the last time he stirs your heart? When's the last time he moved upon you and you know that the Spirit of God come upon you and you've been in his presence? When's the last time for that? It ought to be today is what it ought to be. I want to show you something in this text, though. The Bible has promised us, God in his word promised us a conditional promise right here. Watch. It's a conditional promise. And the Lord says this, if you'll follow me, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, then I'll be a God who heals in your life. He didn't say if you're perfect. He didn't say if you say everything right and do everything right and you think all the right thoughts, then I'll be a God who heals in your life. No, but he just says if you'll seek me diligently, if you'll follow me, then, he says, I will be in your life a God who heals. Whether that's physically, because there's somebody here right now, I know somebody in the hospital right now, not in good shape, but there's somebody you know in your life right now who needs a physical healing. And God is able to heal completely and wholly and restore. There's somebody here right now who spiritually, you need to be healed. Hey, somebody here right now who you're carrying around years of a broken heart. It's affected who you are. It comes out in your personality. It comes out in your character. Because somewhere along the way, life was not fair. And life did not go as you expected. But God is a God who heals. And he says, if you'll just seek me, and if you'll just follow me, and I'm going to be a God who thoroughly and completely binds you up, makes you well, restores you, and brings wholeness to your life. He's able to do it on the outside physically. He's able to do it deep, deep, deep on the inside where nobody's ever been but the Lord Himself. He said, if you'll just seek me, follow me, I'll be a God who heals in your life. I've got a cousin right now I ask you to pray for. Those of you who are prayer warriors and have a prayer book and a prayer list, you can put her name in it because I know we've got some people like that that are here. Her name's Andrea. And as I was a kid, when I was a kid, she was like another sister to me. I only have one sister, but she's my first cousin. She's like a sister to me. And I spent countless and countless days and weeks camping with her and my aunt and uncle. And she and I, we would ski and kneeboard together and all that stuff behind the boat at the same time. She's very close to me growing up and as a child and even into early adulthood. Well, Wednesday this week, she was at home at her mother and father's house and she passed out. I don't know how old Andrea is. I think she's probably about 40 maybe. They rushed her to the hospital and they did x-rays of her brain. And the PA comes in with this wonderful bedside manner. And he says, bad news, you have a brain tumor. And she said, excuse me? And he said, bad news, you've got a brain tumor, it's not good. And so they did more tests. This morning she sits in Charlotte awaiting a biopsy today, where tomorrow they will go in and attempt to take out a tumor the size of a Coke can from her brain. So I talked to her last night. I prayed with her last night on the phone. But I was able to tell her that there's a reason God allowed this to be discovered. And He allowed it to be discovered so she could be where she's at today, one of the best hospitals in America, about to get treatment, surgery, yes, probably a long, difficult road ahead. But last night, because of this verse out of Exodus, I was able to put her in the hands of a God who I know heals. And I know the words have been thrown out there that it's the worst case scenario and things like that. I get it. I appreciate doctors. I appreciate medicine. I appreciate technology. But I know a God who heals, who transcends all of that. I know a God who give us those doctors and give us that knowledge and give us that technology and give us that ability to do the treating of diseases such as this. And no matter what path God chooses, I know that He alone is the great physician and He is able to heal and bring healing to that cousin of mine. And if you're here this morning, I'm telling you this, He's able to heal you too. And it may not be a tumor in your brain. It may be brokenheartedness. It may be that you've been bruised in life. It may be that you carry a heavy heart this morning. But there's a God who says, if you'll follow me, diligently seek me, I'm going to touch you, heal you, make you whole, and restore you to what I know you need to be. Stand, and I want you to make your way to this altar right now, today. You come.